As we watch world events unfold and fulfill Scripture, it's hard to believe anyone could doubt God and His Word are real. And yet there are so many who either question or completely refuse to believe it. The God Who Speaks is a 90-minute documentary that hits the doubt head-on with evidence that proves God is real and His Word is the ultimate authority. Watch it anytime and invite others to watch with you. Just visit stream.afa.net. That's stream.afa.net.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. I'm Tim Wildman, and in studio with me today is Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Brother Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Chris Woodward.
Good morning.
You're a brother, too, Chris.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, brother.
A brother in Christ, as the Bible says.
That's right.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We got so much to talk about. Brother Fred Jackson is... But he's out today, right?
He had to pinch hit for Jenna today and
That's
host
right.
her show. So I am Fred today.
Right. Pinch or pinch? Which is it?
Pit.
Pinch hit.
Pinch hit, yes. Yeah.
I've just heard people describe it.
Pinch.
Yeah.
Allison, my wife, says pinch. So
sometimes asking a Southerner which is it.
I know. That's not a good idea,
the
right?
Accurate answer.
I tell her I'm not correcting her. You know you can.
It's like irregardless. People
there are bigger fish to fry. Yeah. I'm getting
that's
into
not
it.
A hill to die on, and I will die.
All right. Again, thanks for listening to American Family Radio. Today's issue is the name of this program. We got so much to talk about, but we have a guest we wanted to get right to because he said if we don't talk to him now, he won't be available. So that's just the way it goes. We got to get to Rob West right now. Rob is host of Faith and Finance, heard weekdays at 9 a.m., just preceding this program on the American Family Radio Network. Rob, good morning to you.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm pinch hitting for myself.
Pinch hitting for yourself. Rob, we wanted to have you. How long do you have? 5 minutes? 10 minutes? How long?
I've got all the time you need, Tim.
Okay. All right.
You shouldn't have said that.
Yeah. that's the used to say when I was lining up to putt. We got all the time you need, Tim. Just take your time there. Not that you're going to make it, but... Anyway, that's what they were thinking. Yep. All right, so we got a lot of current event topics to talk about. We're going to get to in a few minutes, but I've been seeing something in the news that's a scam that is getting a lot of attention, and it's kind of scary to hear about. And when I mentioned it to Ed, he said, "Well,
just
how do
ruined
you,
my day."
Yeah, I know. How do you prevent something like that from happening? But can you explain this scam? Because I want people to be aware of it. Can you explain this scam out there that's happening across the country, Rob?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. And it comes described as deed transfer or a home title theft. And the bottom line is it's extremely rare. Basically, identity theft-based deed fraud does happen, but it's usually a paperwork mess, not a financial catastrophe. Most homeowners can protect themselves by signing up for their county's free deed alerts. We'll talk about that in a second. And by never signing away their title without trusted advice. So essentially, two very different crimes use the same document. It's the quitclaim deed. You may have heard of that term. It's what allows you to sign over your home. Only one can cost you your home. And it's important to understand the difference between the two. So the first one is what's called deed forgery identity theft. So this version is more of a paperwork crime and is often featured in these alarmist ads you're talking about where it's described as, quote, home title theft. So a criminal forges a quitclaim deed or pretends to be the homeowner to file it with the county recorder and then takes out a loan and tries to sell the property. Well, here's what matters. The real owner still legally owns the home. A forged deed doesn't hold up in court. the thief might get the loan proceeds, but the lenders or title insurers take the financial hit, not the homeowners. The result is a bunch of stress and paperwork, but not the loss of your house. You can sign up for property alert programs in most counties, and more are adding this all the time, where they'll for free notify you if someone files a document in your name. The other one is a quitclaim con, and this is basically a persuasion scam. It's the more dangerous of the two, but it's far less common, and even the first one is, I would consider, rare. In this version, the scammer talks you in as a homeowner to willingly sign a legitimate quitclaim deed and essentially kind of gets you to transfer ownership to them, and you don't realize it's happening in the first place. So bottom line there is never sign a deed or a power of attorney or any transfer document without legal advice.
All right. Well, then evidently, Tim Farrell for the alarmist ads that you mentioned earlier, because, man, they've made it seem like this is the reason I invited you on to talk about this, because this ad made it seem like this is a real problem.
And then I fell for Tim's alarmist warning, and I said, yeah, we need to have Rob West on to talk about this.
Exactly.
I went online and started trying to figure out ways to protect myself. Mm-hmm. Now, so, Rob, now let me ask you this. This second one you talked about with the kind of quick claim, the signing over, does this especially target older people who might be confused? Maybe they're going to get a roof put on. And the person says, well, sure, we'll do it. You won't have to worry about it. Just, you know, sign your, you know, just promise, use your house as collateral. And what you're really doing is signing it over. Does this hit certain age groups or what?
Yeah, exactly right. You know, that's where it would happen typically with older folks where they don't understand what they're signing. There could be any number of tactics that get them to do that. But it's basically using that quitclaim deed to get you to sign over with a forged signature. It involves, you know, fake paperwork, and, you know, eventually they're using that to legally, because your signature's on it, transfer that property over. And so the bottom line is, yeah, you never sign a deed or a power of attorney. Be skeptical of anyone offering quick cash or instant equity or foreclosure relief. That's often, you know, how they're doing these. And then, you know, just show, first of all, if somebody contacts you around that, hang up or don't respond. Yeah. But if you're really in a hardship, you know, just get legal counsel before you sign anything.
All right. One other question I have. I've been contacted by this Nigerian prince, Rob, and...
And I told you, it sounds like a great deal, Tim.
I'm thinking about it. You know what you mentioned about people who... people who are vulnerable people who are naive. And think the best of people all the time.
Yes.
And we're all supposed to, raised to, you know, think.
I don't anymore.
I know.
I don't think the best of anybody.
That's a good.
I'm suspicious.
My mother-in-law, God rest her soul, she passed away a few months ago, but my wife would often tell her, why did you answer that phone call? Why are you talking to these people?
Yeah.
You don't even know who they are.
Right.
And because my mother-in-law was, you know, a nice lady.
Remember Ms. Brunch.
Yeah, she's very nice
lady.
But she would, she didn't ever fall for complete thing that hurt her financially, but she did sign up for a couple of things that else got in the mail going, what is this? Why are you supporting this group? Anyway, what I'm saying is that what you said, Rob, you need to, especially people need to be aware of this for their elderly parents, so that they can, you know, keep them from doing something that they didn't mean to do, but they did nonetheless. Go ahead.
Well, that's exactly right. You know, the number one scam in this demographic would be a government imposter, you know, or they're claiming to be from Social Security, from Medicare, IRS.
Okay.
They say you owe money, there's a problem with your account, and they demand immediate payment. They're never going to contact you by phone. It's always going to be through the mail.
Gotcha.
So you just need to automatically assume that's not legitimate. Another one would be tech support. You get a pop-up on your computer. It's infected. They ask for a remote access or a payment. And then there's the grandparent or family emergency scam. There's the romance scams. I mean, you know, these things all kind of at the end of the day have the same underlying ideas. You got to act fast and you got to give personal information. So I think, you know, first of all, stop in your tracks, verify, don't trust, never pay anything with a gift card or a wire. Anytime somebody says you got to do this quickly or legal action is coming, just assume it's fraudulent. And, you know, don't ever click on a link in an email or give information over the phone.
I got to say, my experience with the IRS, now I do want to be fair. I've never really had a problem with the IRS. When I have been able to reach them by phone, they've been very helpful. And so I do want to say that up front. But I will also say that trying to get a hold of the IRS on purpose by phone is hard enough. Yeah. I don't think the IRS, nobody at the Internal Revenue Service wastes time calling individuals on the phone. I'm not even sure their phones work half the time at the IRS. So do not think they're actually calling you on the phone.
Hey, Rob, thanks so much, my friend. Appreciate it very much. That's helpful information, okay? Thank you.
Thanks, gentlemen.
Okay, bye-bye. That's Rob West from Faith and Finance.
That makes me feel better.
Yeah, me too. Yep. Yeah. I still got to pay this toll.
It kills me that people that live in places with no toll roads are like, fall for that.
That's not the way it works, though. I was telling Tim, now we're talking, folks, if you're wondering, and I'm guessing some of our listeners have had a text message from a state that is telling you that you visited.
Right.
And you use the toll and you haven't paid on the tolls because my wife and I went to visit my sister in Dallas several years ago. And there is a toll road or two that we had to use to get to her house. Okay. And so months later, after we paid you pay the toll by mail, when you get a bill, then I got a text message and it was from the Texas State or
Bureau of Motor or whatever.
Bureau, and it said you didn't pay this, and they want you to click a link, and then they're going to get information. And so they apparently knew that we had been to Texas.
Yeah, that's kind of scary.
It was weird.
Yeah, kind of scary. All right. Well, anyway, scams, spams and scams out there everywhere.
Scam a lot.
I had these folks calling me for like a month. Almost every day telling me I was pre-approved for a loan that I never applied for. And all they needed was a couple board minutes of information and I would have my loan, which if I'd ever called them back and given them my couple bits of information,
they would have had your loan.
They would have had my, yes. So anyway, the way to avoid scams is not do stupid stuff.
And
Rob could have said that, right?
Let me just give you this piece of advice.
Right.
The way to not get scammed is to never answer phone calls.
Yeah.
Never answer emails and stay in your house.
Right.
Do not leave.
And do not be nice to people you don't know.
Just live off the grid.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. What's your first story, Chris?
A Mississippi mama made the mainstream media over the weekend because she shot one of those escaped research monkeys, and the mama said she did so to protect her kids.
Mama pajama rolled
out
of bed.
For people not aware of the long national nightmare we've been living in here in Mississippi.
Well played.
Last week, a truck carrying research monkeys overturned in Jasper County, Mississippi, which is an area southwest of Meridian, southeast of Jackson, along I-20 and I-59.
Now, let me just stop you there for a second, just so our listeners understand. These research monkeys, are these monkeys that do research, or are they researched on?
They're monkeys that are being researched on. For example, there were widespread reports in the hours immediately following the accident in which the monkeys escaped that the monkeys may be carrying all kinds of diseases, including COVID. And as a result, many people have been on edge in the Jasper, Mississippi area.
I've been on edge.
Yes.
I don't even live. I'm a couple hundred miles away.
Yeah.
Yes. Well,
monkeys can move.
They can. They travel. They'll hotwire a car and be up here this part of the state before you know it.
That's why you don't experiment on the monkeys. But anyway.
These research monkeys can drive a stick shift. I've seen it.
All right. So I don't know how many of the research monkeys were there. Many of them didn't leave, right?
They died.
The vast majority of them.
Yeah. Some died. Some were shot on the scene. And a woman in Mississippi shot and killed one of the three rhesus monkeys that escaped after the truck carrying
research
animals.
What's a rhesus monkey? I know what a rhesus piece is.
Peanut butter in the middle and
rhesus. R-H-E-S-U-S. Rhesus.
Okay.
Monkeys.
I'm sorry.
But anyway, the mama here went full mama bear and saw one of these monkeys on her property.
Shot it.
And she shot it, defending her family. Yeah.
Just fit in right into the stereotype for our state.
Worst possible state.
Right.
Hey,
if you're a researcher.
The Mississippi mama unloads on the research monkey.
You escape a crash and ask your buddy, where are we?
Right.
And he says, we're Mississippi.
And Tony, your son, said this morning that the taxidermist will be glad to do that monkey and not ask any questions.
You know that monkey wound up at the local taxidermist. Right, right. And they're going to mount that head right next to the deer.
All right. Anyway, we need to move on. But this story is funny, and yet it has its serious components.
I mean, it made Newsweek. I've seen similar stories on other major.
So are all the monkeys accounted for, dead or alive, to borrow from Bon Jovi?
I've seen articles that still claim a couple of them.
There's a couple of them are loose still.
Would that mean they could
procreate? She shot one of the three.
Could they procreate? And then 10 years from now, we're dealing with an anaconda situation, like a python, like in the Everglades. So Mississippi's just run amok.
We're all living in a
monkeys
bunker.
Everywhere.
And Brent's got his trail camera on.
Oh, man.
Did that
funny.
Not happen? If
that's what happened with the ball python
that's
in
what I'm
Florida.
Saying.
And then we have like a Planet of the Apes situation where Elvis's statue is replaced with a monkey.
We should never be started on this.
All right, we better move on.
I will say this one thing. This is on a serious note. They did say it was some officials who were responsible for transporting these research monkeys to Tulane. I think it was Tulane University. They were saying, no, these monkeys are not disease ridden or whatever.
Yes, I've seen.
However, and I've just gotten to the place where I go, I want to see proof. Mm-hmm. Government person telling me. Every time I saw pictures of the officials trying to look at the scene, they were all masked up and covered from head to toe.
Yes.
Hazmat, or whatever they call it.
It was close to being in a hazmat thing, and I thought, they're telling everyone there's nothing wrong with these monkeys, but they're showing up.
Right.
Right.
You were not the only one that feels that way, because one of the television stations I used to work for, I won't say their call letters, but I saw a social media post from the station saying, university says these were not disease-ridden monkeys. And the first person that commented at the bottom of the post said, they always say this.
Yes. I'm sorry. I'm not sure I believe you.
Right. You're listening to Today's Issues. Next story, Chris.
Tomorrow is Election Day in various parts of the country. Yes. Big races that we're continuing to watch involve New York City, where communist or socialist, depending on the person that's talking, Zohran Mamdani is
What's
running
his name?
For mayor. Zohran Mamdani.
Okay.
He's running for mayor there against Andrew Cuomo and Republican Curtis Sliwa.
A lot of good choices there.
It looks like Mamdani's probably going to win that one. New Jersey is an interesting one because there's a couple of people running for governor. The Republican may actually win this one. In a blue state. Due in part, I think, to what's going on there in New York City. The other big one that we're watching is the Virginia gubernatorial race. That's between former Representative Abigail Spanberger, a Democrat, and Republican Lieutenant Governor Winsom Sears, who's running for governor there. It looks like Spanberger may actually win this one because Northern Virginia is very liberal, and pretty much when you run for a statewide office, if you can win Fairfax and other areas.
But Sears won statewide four years ago.
She did.
And the lieutenant governor's race. So, it could be interesting. And also, you're watching that AG race there.
Yes, between Jason Mejias, the Republican who's currently lieutenant governor, and the Democrat who said years ago in a text message he wanted to shoot somebody.
Wait a minute. Did I get it wrong then? Is Winsome Sears not the lieutenant governor?
Yes, she's running for governor because Virginia has a rule that basically you serve one term as governor and then you step away to let somebody else have a go at it. That's why
Although you can skip a term and then run again.
Glenn Youngkin could come back in 4 years if he wanted to.
Okay. But Winsome Sears is currently the lieutenant governor. You said someone else was.
Oh, yeah. I thought you mentioned the attorney general race.
I did.
In Virginia. That's between Jason Meares and the Democrat that was saying things in text messages.
What was his name? Jay
Jones or Jay Johns?
Yeah. The one who had the text revealed that he was talking about killing, hoping that some people died, Republicans died or something like that.
Yeah. The,
and the kids, too.
Yeah, the House Speaker at the time in Virginia and the State Assembly or the House of Delegates.
Yeah.
Jay Johns.
People in Virginia know what we're talking about. It's big news there.
And Spanberger, actually, who's running for governor, she took a little bit of a hit, although she might still win, because she would not criticize the lieutenant governor running for the Democrat candidate for lieutenant governor, would not criticize him for those comments.
Yeah, when asked whether or not she would take back her endorsement of the Democrat running for attorney general, she would say things like, I want people to make their own decisions.
Yeah.
Which is a non-answer answer.
Well, you got to be able to condemn what he did outright.
Yeah.
Without, you know.
I think she would have come out polling better out of that debate had she just been up front and said, you know what he said was wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he didn't say it. He texted it, and it was revealed by somebody who was recipient of the text I got. And it was but it was awful.
It was a terrible thing.
It was a text that he had sent, what, a couple of years ago or something like that? This gentleman running for attorney general of the state of Virginia.
And he defended it. He defended it.
He did?
He explained it. Let me put it this way. He explained it by saying we all sometimes text things wish we didn't. But
The text was about shootings, killing people who are Republicans.
Everyone doesn't do that.
No, they don't. And that's,
If a Republican had had done this made that claim, like everybody does this.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, Anderson Cooper would be on CNN unshaven for the fourth day in a row.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues. Mondami. Zoran?
Zoran Mamdani.
Zoran, I do. It sounds like, as I say, if that isn't a name made for a superhero, I don't know.
Right.
Zoran Mamdani to the rescue.
But I think we should start saying it's a name for a super villain.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Well, like Jim Dandy was, you know. He was Jim Dandy to the rescue, Zoran Mamdani to the destruction of New York City.
Yep.
Okay. So there is a report out in the New York Post today that a poll was conducted of New Yorkers and 800, I'll just read you the headline from the New York Post.
I got it.
You got it? Go ahead.
Nearly a million, that you're talking about? Nearly a million New Yorkers ready to flee New York City if Mamdani, yes, we said Zoran Mamdani, becomes mayor, possibly igniting the largest exodus in history. That's according to a poll this is 765,000 out of the 8.4 million residents who call New York City home. This was a survey conducted by JL Partners.
Yes. I saw a story. I've seen a couple of stories in the last 2 to 3 weeks about how New Jersey may have a housing crisis if people flee New York City to move to New Jersey because he's elected.
Anyway, now, whether people would do that or not, I guess it would depend on how bad it gets in New York City. Because it's easy to say, I'm out of here. Well, okay, well, then put your house on the market, move your kids to a different school. I mean, there's a lot. People are speaking emotionally, I think. But still, if only half those people left New York, the housing market would collapse, seems to me. By the way, do you want to see how far left this guy is, Zoran Mamdani? Barack Obama refuses to endorse him.
Now, I thought he campaigned for him. Did he not?
Democrat nominee and proud socialist Zoran Mamdani tried to downplay former President Barack Obama's refusal to offer up an endorsement over the weekend.
Oh.
With just one day left in the most watched races in the country.
Yeah.
Mamdani said, I appreciated the call with President Obama and his support for the movement that we have created. I appreciated his words and appreciated his time. But he didn't endorse him, according to this.
Huh.
We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
We're living in a time when truth is under attack. Lies are easy to tell, easy to spread, and easy to believe. But truth is costly. And nowhere is the cost greater than for mothers in crisis. When a woman is told abortion is her only option, silence and lies surround her. But when she walks into a preborn network clinic, she's met with compassion, support, and the truth about the life growing inside her. That moment of truth happens through a free ultrasound, and it's a game changer. When a mother sees her baby and hears that heartbeat, it literally doubles the chance she'll choose life. Preborn Network clinics are on the front lines, meeting women in their darkest hour, loving them, and helping them choose life and sharing truth. Friend, this is not a time to be silent. It's a time for courage, for truth, for life. Just $28 provides one ultrasound and the opportunity for a mother to see her baby, to help her choose truth and life. Donate today. Call #250 and say baby. That's #250 baby. Or give online at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Welcome back to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues is the name of this show, and we're here every Monday through Thursday. On Fridays, we have Trivia Friday, so join us for that. Do we have a guest, yes or no? No guest coming up this half hour. Let me mention, hold on a second, popcorn.
Popcorn.
I can't resist that popcorn out there.
Listen.
I'm glad it's not a sin. because it's definitely a temptation I give into.
I every once in a while, we'll have to walk down to go to American Family News. Walk past. Just you get down here, this part of the building.
Yeah.
It's on the ground floor, and you smell that popcorn.
Oh.
And it just wants to reel you in. It's like walking into a movie theater.
Yeah.
And you smell it, except our popcorn smells even better.
It's fresher and better.
Yeah.
Or more awesomer, as you
it's
say.
It's more awesomer. Way.
Real quickly, let me mention, in the year 2026, if the world doesn't end...
If the Lord tarries.
Yes, or the Lord tarries and the world doesn't end.
The year 2025.
Let me caveat that. We got a few tours that we're going to do, which are going to be wonderful, and we're excited about them. Let me mention, first of all, Walker and Wesley Wildman, my sons, are going to lead a group to Greece in March on the Footsteps of Paul tour. And then my wife and I, Allison and Alex McFarlane, we're going to lead a group to the Holy Land in March as well. So we got those two tours coming up.
Now, can I just ask a question?
You can ask away.
Somebody could do these back to back.
They could. That's right. They can. And some are.
Yeah.
Some people are doing them back to back. We've scheduled these tours back to back, that is Israel and Greece, so that you can do both if you want to. What that means is you go with us to Israel, Allison and me, and then you take a plane trip from Tel Aviv to Greece, which is about an hour and a half or 2 hours, I think, maybe three. And then you join the Footsteps of Paul tour.
Right. Missionary journeys.
Yeah. Both of them are in March. And so those tours, and then we've got coming up in 2026, we've got tours to Colonial Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. That's in June and September, and those are back-to-back with our nation's capital trip, Washington, D.C., and Mount Vernon. So that's a week. If you want to go with us for a week, we'll take care of you for a week, Saturday to Sunday, actually. We'll take care of you, and you'll see all those things I just mentioned, Williamsburg, Jamestown, Yorktown, Washington, D.C., and Mount Vernon. So that's June and September. And then we got a September trip to go see all the history of Boston.
I'm going to see if I can work my schedule out to go on.
All right. Boston, the Boston area, so much history there. So that trip is scheduled for September as well. So for the itinerary, the cost, everything you want to know about any of that I just mentioned, any of those tours, just go to this website, WILDMONGROUP, WildmanGroup.com. Everything is there. WILDMONGROUP.com, WildmanGroup.com. And so join us in 2026 for one of our tours that I just mentioned. You're listening to Today's Issues on AFR. What's your next story, Chris?
Well, in recent days, the Trump administration designated Nigeria a, quote, country of particular concern due to a rise in Christian persecution. This has been a big story, understandably so, because our brothers and sisters in Christ in Nigeria are suffering because of their faith. I've got several bits of audio here that we can play. Beginning with this one from President Trump, who was asked over the weekend whether or not U.S. troops might deploy to Nigeria because of the Christian persecution over there. Clip 9.
Could be. I mean, a lot of things I envisage, a lot of things. They're killing record numbers of Christians in Nigeria. And they have other countries very bad also. You know that. That part of the world, very bad. They're killing the Christians and killing them in very large numbers. I'm not going to allow that to happen.
It's President Trump. You can tell he's aboard Air Force One.
Correct.
And he'll come out. He'll come out from his the place reserved for him on Air Force One, and he'll just do a Q&A with reporters. I mean, whatever you may think about President Trump, you got to give the guy total credit for being accessible to the media, even liberal media, to ask questions. Unlike Biden, the former president, who was. They locked him up.
And steps out of bed and they call a lid on.
They kept him away from any questions from the media, and we all know why now. But President Trump, he takes all comers. He did a 60 Minutes interview that aired on Sunday, too. So, but what he's doing there, the subject he's talking about, he was asked about the Nigerian Christians, which this is this story has been overshadowed by other international stories. But there's a big population, I mean hundreds of thousands of Christians who live in the country of Nigeria in Africa, and they are being besieged by the Islamic terrorist right there from the north of the country. Have I got that accurate?
Yes. Yeah. Nigeria has a population of 236 million people.
And the butchery is just awful. What butchery isn't, right? I mean, it just what I'm saying is awful in terms of the numbers. And we're trying to get the voice of the martyrs on. We're going to have the gentleman on.
Todd Nettleton.
Todd, we'll have him on maybe tomorrow to talk about the situation there in Nigeria. I know a lot of people listening to us know people in Africa and Central Africa and maybe Nigeria and other missionaries all around Africa that many of us support. So, of course, Africa is a big continent, but Nigeria is one of the largest countries, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Huge. In Africa. What do you know about this, Ed?
Well, and the way, by the way, we're going to play a clip from Bill Maher, who's a liberal, a classical liberal. In fact, why don't we go ahead and play this because, and I forget who he had on, seems like it was Nancy Mace.
It is Nancy Mace, yes.
The congresswoman, and he I will give credit to Bill Maher because he does see things from a liberal, classical liberal perspective, but he noted the lack of coverage of this. This is probably 3 weeks ago, maybe a month, but I appreciated what he had to say. Let's go ahead and play that clip and then we'll come back.
Clip 11.
If you don't know what's going on in Nigeria, you are in a bubble. And again, I'm not a Christian, but they are systematically killing the Christians in Nigeria. They've killed over 100,000 since 2009. They've burned 18,000 churches. This is so much more. These are their Islamists, Boko Haram. This is so much more of a genocide attempt than what is going on in Gaza. They are literally attempting to wipe out the Christian population of an entire country. Where are the kids protesting this?
Thank you. No one will talk about it, so thank you.
Absolutely.
It's Africa. That's why no one's talking about it, and they should be. You can't read about it in mainstream media. It's sad, so thank you for bringing
it up. Well, because the Jews aren't involved. That's why. It's the Christians and the Muslims. Who cares?
Yeah, he was being sarcastic there. Bill Maher is the voice you heard. He would say it's not the Jews. In other words, everyone wants to protest and complain and file, you know, this resolution in the UN and this and that resolution when it's Israel fighting, when they were fighting the war in Gaza. Everybody cared, but it's Muslims killing Christians. Who cares is what he was saying. He was being sarcastic.
Mm-hmm. I didn't realize this, but Nigeria has 230 million people. Mm-hmm. It is the most populous country in Africa. So that,
I didn't know it was the most populous.
That, yeah. So let me just say this. When we get this, when we get Todd on from the
Voice of the Martyrs,
mm-hmm. he can fill in the details of what I'm about to say. But what you got going on here, you got Muslims trying to impose Sharia law and trying to wipe out the Christians because they're not Muslims.
Yes.
Am I right?
Yes, and killing them in horrifying fashion. I was looking at a story from NPR. This is from July, but they were talking about yet another village wiped out, 160 people. People killed with rifles, machetes, and some of them, they burned them alive in their homes. They wouldn't let them out, threatening them with being shot. And then they were burned alive in their homes.
Where was that Boko Haram?
That's in Africa.
Haram? You remember them, reading about them?
They were basically ISIS before ISIS became a household name.
Right. Yeah. It's not to say, as we always say, that all Muslims obviously are not bloodthirsty savages. Sure. I mean, the vast, vast majority of Muslims are like everybody else. They just want to live in peace and have, you know, a good life. But there is an ideology within Islam that says we've got to conquer the world by...
And kill the infidel.
Kill the infidel. And if only 5 to 10% of Muslims subscribe to that, which is probably about right, then you get that's what you get with ISIS. That's what you get with Saddam. Excuse me, with what was the guy who masterminded 9/11?
Osama bin Laden.
That's what you get with Osama bin Laden. That's what you get with ISIS. That's what you get with Al-Qaeda. That's what you get with Hamas. That's what you Hamas is political and religious, but that's what you get with the Muslim Brotherhood. These groups, their ideology. They have their splinter groups. They have different names, but their ideology is for Islam to conquer the world by force, and that's why, you know, there's the people worried about what's happened to. A lot of native Europeans are worried about this mass immigration. Millions and millions of people have come into Europe, especially Western Europe.
From the Muslim world.
Over the last 10 to 20 years. Just mass immigration. And the people of Western Europe, many of them have been weak on this issue and just let everybody in. And now they're suffering the consequences of it big time. And Europe will fall in the next 50 years. By that I mean you will not have Europe as we know it will not exist. You will have Muslims starting to rise up to 20, 30, 40, who knows, 50% of the populations of these countries. That's what's going to happen. France is already 10% Muslim. France is. They're having a big problem in the UK with and Scandinavian countries with crime caused by these people who come in to their countries illegally from North Africa, from the Middle East. Now, again, it's a mix of good and bad. You got a lot of people who just wanted to immigrate from these countries because they want a better life. It's kind of like people flood over our border from Central American countries, right? Because they want a chance at a better life. They don't like the poverty that they live in. Same thing with a lot of these immigrants from North Africa and from the Middle East. They just want to come to Europe because they see, well, it's a chance at you know, a better life for my family and me.
Right.
So,
but to your point, even if it's only 10% of Muslim immigrants, I'm looking at the Pew Research Center says in the 6-year period between 2010 and 2016, 3.7 million Muslims migrated to Europe. Okay. Now, Europe is about 300 million people. So you go, well, that's not really that much. But if you only take 10% of a group that large and say that's the number of radicals you have, okay, then 10% of 3.7 million, what is that? Is that 370,000? I'm probably, there's math people out there screaming. But you're talking about a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you're talking about a lot of people who can do harm. And when you're talking about people walking around a big city like London with a knife.
Yeah, did you see what happened there?
Yeah. Now, I don't know the details.
We haven't talked about that story yet.
Yeah, I don't know the details about the one who was arrested or who perpetrated this crime, but just walk around with a knife stabbing people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, my first thought was, this is an Islamic terrorist attack. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
He may have been mentally unstable.
We can cover this story here and right. get to the facts okay. of it. But my point is, how many of those do you think it takes to turn London into a war zone? You don't right. have to have 3.7 million.
The native Irishmen are really upset and on edge because their government's been allowing this mass immigration into their country, and it's creating real problems.
Rapes have gone skyrocketed in these countries.
Right.
I saw over the weekend a woman arrested by the police for simply saying, this is a Christian country, we don't want Muslims here, telling us to become Muslim. And they showed video.
They arrested her?
She was arrested.
In where? In Britain?
It was in the UK.
Yeah.
And so what I'm saying is, it doesn't take that many radicals when you're talking 3.7 million. I see another article here says over 10 million Muslim immigrants in Europe. I don't know what the time period is. It doesn't take a lot of radicals to turn Europe into a war zone.
And if you combine, you want a recipe for a disaster? You combined letting these secular progressives in Europe be elected to leadership, and then they they're bleeding hearts. They're let everybody in, take care of everybody. Everybody's good. Everybody has good intentions. And here you are. If you have that kind of approach, then they're going to kill you. If I say they're going to kill you, I mean, eventually they're going to kill the country, take over the country. These Islamic terrorists that are going to flood in because the criminal activity is going to get out of hand, going to get crazy, because these political leftists, they do not deal in reality on this. They don't. If we say Islamic radicalism, they say that doesn't exist.
Right.
That's what they'll tell you.
Islamophobia. That's Islamophobia. That's not the real Islam.
That's what they'll tell you. Yep. They live in that denial world.
Yeah.
Which has sometimes turned into a reaction from the right, like the election of the prime minister in Italy.
Yes.
What's her name?
Is it Merloni?
But she's for shutting down immigration altogether, I believe.
Giorgia Meloni.
Yeah, but she's right wing. Mm-hmm. And there's been the guy in the Netherlands was a right wing response to this. What was his name? He got a lot of international attention for being.
I will not pronounce his name.
For warning against open immigration into the country.
It's weird that the left, the political left, in bending over backwards to allow Muslim immigration into Europe, says, listen, we're just trying to be nice, and we're trying to be,
welcoming.
They're actually going to undermine their own political position and cause the rise of the right wing.
Yes.
In response to the problems they're having from a lot of these immigrants.
Yes.
It's
what was the fella in the Netherlands?
The guy that was just recently elected?
Yes. Well, he's being challenged. I don't know how recently it was. But this guy got a lot of attention for warning against letting the Muslims flood into Europe. He got criticized for being Islamophobic.
Yeah, I don't think it's the prime minister-elect, because he is a liberal, actually. 38-year-old Rob Jetton secured a historic win in the election to beat Geert Wilders of
That's
the far right party.
Geert Wilders, yeah.
Rob Jetton is a liberal who's a
so
Geert Wilders has been warning for
yes.
a decade.
Wasn't he elected in the Netherlands?
I'm not as up on European politics as I should be. I think wasn't he in like the parliament or something? I think he was in the parliament.
Well, I thought he was elected president.
No, because there's a People magazine story. Netherlands elects its youngest first openly gay prime minister.
Well,
and it's not Geert Wilders.
That's not him. No. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Next story, Chris.
Do you want to mention the train situation?
Yes. For those who don't know,
yes.
Horrifying.
So I want to take a moment just to direct everybody to our Today's Issues Facebook page where I have posted this Daily Mail article. And the reason I posted the Daily Mail article is because they have images from surveillance video of what the news outlet itself calls a nightmare on Platform 2. Terrifying new video shows train knifemen following screaming passengers as they run for their lives in Cambridgeshire attack that hurt 11 people. Some of those people are still in the hospital. In this article, it talks about how this was initially believed to be a terrorist attack. However, authorities did say on Sunday it's no longer believed to be a terrorist attack. Nonetheless, a crazy
the guy was mentally ill.
Yes,
and
the attacker.
He was known.
Correct.
So it wasn't a Muslim a radical Muslim attack.
Yeah.
It was a guy was crazy.
Yes, but given that it's the UK and
right.
the situation that you just discussed, that generally is what you yeah. lead to. You jump
that was to. That was terrifying to watch because that guy had more than a knife.
Mm-hmm.
That was like it looked like
a butcher's knife or something.
Yeah, halfway between a knife and a machete.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was awful.
And it's well documented in terms of the images.
Now, you can't, you can't have a gun in Great Britain, right?
I believe
you can have. I think you can have some shotguns. It's but it's very
for hunting.
Even that's very strictly controlled.
Yeah, but you can't carry like you can in the U.S.
You can't carry.
So somebody couldn't take this guy out.
No,
they had to just sit there and try to run the best they can. But they're defenseless.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless you pick up a pipe or something. But to your point, you can't. It's not like here. You know, no one's going to pull that in Alabama. Or Texas.
No, they'll be shot dead.
They'll be shot dead.
You start butchering people on a bus or a train, and like you said, in most of the U.S., you're going to be shot dead.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to be able to get away with it, which,
By the way, just your earlier question, Geert Wilders, he has been a member of the Dutch House of Representatives since 1998, but he is the leader of the Party for Freedom, which is a conservative. They are often described as far right, but that's just.
But he's been warning against this
yes.
unlimited mass immigration into Europe from
probably since 2006.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He has led this as the far. It's defined him as the far-right Party for Freedom since founding it in 2006.
Now, some liberals would say we don't care whether our country's flooded by illegal immigrants, that we don't believe in borders anyway.
Right.
That's
And they'll say, we welcome them here.
They welcome them here, but not to their secluded neighborhoods.
Right.
Well,
right.
You know, what's okay, I should have stayed on the subject of the monkeys because I was a lot happier talking
right.
about the escaped monkeys in Mississippi.
Right.
As was I.
Okay. But these people think they're going to be ultimately going to be safe in their gated communities. That's not how this works.
Mm-hmm.
Once you lose your country, you lose the protection of your gated community too. But like you said, Tim, these liberals do not live in the real world, and they don't ever want to say the hard things about reality, either because they don't believe it or they don't want to be called Islamophobic.
Right. You remember after 9/11? And everybody knew that these attackers were Al-Qaeda. They were Islamic terrorists.
Yes.
And yet the people on the left and a lot of people in the mainstream media, they didn't even want to say that. Remember, Obama wouldn't even say it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's like, why won't you even, if it was a white supremacist attack, would you say, well, we, these were just people.
Yes.
We don't know what drove their ideology. No, they would be screaming from the roof.
It's what the Biden administration did. White supremacy, the greatest threat in Christian
to America,
to our democracy.
Yeah, that's what Biden said. He said white supremacists are they're the number one threat to the country. And then he said, I'm not saying that's just because y'all are black. Remember that?
Right. Right.
Speaking to a black audience, going, white supremacist boogeyman out there, he's going to get you.
Mm-hmm.
Remember? And yeah. I was just thinking to myself, I don't know what's causing the delay among the white supremacists, but they are not they're not coming forth with their attacks.
Not on the ball, are they?
They're not holding up to Biden's prediction that they're the number one threat to the world.
Mm. Folks, that was tongue in cheek. Obviously, I would criticize white supremacy just like Islamic radicals.
Oh yeah,
but we're making fun of the Biden administration's.
Well, I'm just saying, people on the left, if it's a white supremacist threat, they're not going to say we're not going to talk about white people in general.
Right.
But you say it's an Islamic terrorism threat. They say, oh no, you can't say Islamist threat. You're generalizing.
Yeah. And you're criticizing all Muslims.
Oh, but they don't say white supremacists. They don't say you're criticizing all white people.
Right.
You can't do that.
Because they were actually criticizing all white people.
Right, 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 right. All right, we'll be back in a couple of minutes with more of today's issues.
We're going to talk about monkeys. Riding dogs.
Are we? monkeys. Anyway, we'll talk about Davy Jones more when we get back from this short timeout.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.